You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
James Scott. His new book is Black Snow, Curtis LeMay, The Firebombing of Tokyo, and The Road to the Atomic Bomb. It is early March 1945. Curtis LeMay, commanding a bomber command out of the Mariana Islands, has a new idea about how to advance his campaign against the Tokyo war-making and bring the war to a close. James, thank you. We go to the briefing of the day, is March 9th, but you tell me in your reporting that the word was out beforehand. How so? What kind of word to the crews of the B-29s?
LeMay, in early March, they posted a message saying they're not going to be any more raids for several nights. And of course, the airmen who are used to flying in these sort of patterns are very aware that that signifies a change is coming. And so the rumor mill just starts burning at that point. And then, of course, LeMay, before the crews get briefed, he then has to bring in all of his wing commanders and sell them and tell them exactly what's going to be going down, because they're going to have to then run these briefings for all these thousands of pilots, bombardiers, and navigators for what amounts to a very radical new way of attacking the Japanese.
The plan is extremely detailed. However, it involves elements that are surprising when you first read them. For example, you've talked about low-level bombing, taking a bomber that was designed to fly with pressurized cabin 6 or 7 miles above and do strategic bombing. He's taking it down to 5,000 feet, but no weapons, James?
Exactly. No. Well, you know, LeMay orders the bombers all stripped of their guns. And if they don't take guns, then they don't need to take ammunition and they don't even need to take gunners. And all of that frees up more weight for bombing. And LeMay's rationale for that is in part because he's going to be sending these planes in, not in a formation, but singly. And they're going to be going in at night. And he was quite frankly worried that these guys might shoot each other down in the dark skies over Tokyo. So it was a safety thing for the crews. But in the end, it also had the added effect of a bonus of allowing them to carry more bombs.
The remarks are immediate. The one remark that says everything is suicide. Is that the opinion of the wing commanders?
Yeah, that's the opinion. These airmen, when they hear that they're going to be going from 30,000 feet to 5,000 feet, going in into one of the most heavily defended cities in the world, you know, without fighter cover, without guns. I mean, these guys, it's one of the guys said it, like when they left that briefing, even the briefers seemed to think they'd never see these crews again. And of course, LeMay's own, you know, artillery officers were telling him, hey, if you go through with this mission, you need to be prepared that you might lose 70% of your force. And of course, LeMay's sending over 300 bombers. That means he would lose 200 planes and 2,200 lives. And so it's a big calculated risk for LeMay.
LeMay's idea, does he put it in front of Hap Arnold? Does Arnold put it in front of Marshall?
No. LeMay doesn't tell anyone what he's going to do. The president, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Arnold, nobody knows. And it's important to remember, Arnold's actually had a massive heart attack in January. And so he's convalescing down in Florida at this point. And Arnold has set up LeMay's operation is part of a brand new Air Force called the 20th Air Force, which is operating as a sort of strategic arm. And Arnold is the commander of that. So he goes to the Joint Chiefs of Staff initially, and he says, you know, rather than give these new bombers to MacArthur or Nimitz, I'm going to create the 20th Air Force. I'm going to be in charge, and I'm going to report directly to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And they buy that idea. Of course, so Arnold then has LeMay operating as his person out there. Then Arnold is felled by this heart attack. And in Arnold's place is a guy by the name of Lars Norstad, who is a brigadier general. So he is a lower rank than LeMay, and LeMay doesn't trust him. LeMay thinks Norstad's gunning for his job. So when LeMay sets on this new idea for how to attack the Japanese, he doesn't even tell Norstad what's going to happen, but he does make a cryptic question of Norstad. He says, is Hap Arnold a gambling man? And Norstad responds, Arnold will be in favor of anything that promises to hurry up and end the war. And with that, LeMay makes this decision, but he doesn't run it past anybody else until what he does do. However, is Norstad was planning to come out in like April to visit. And before that, in February, LeMay sends him a message. He says, you know, I know you're planning on coming out, but if I were you, I would come out now. I've got some things I want to run past you, and I don't want to send them over the telecommunication system. Norstad kind of blows it off, and then LeMay writes back about a week or so later, and he says, I want to reiterate, you need to come out here now. So Norstad finally gets on a plane and takes off on March 7th. And of course, you know, flying from Washington all the way out to the Mariana Islands on propeller planes takes 48 hours. He touches down on the morning that this operation is planned. And that's the first time LeMay briefs anybody outside of his own headquarters on what's going to happen with that.
My notes say three elements, 314th out of Guam, the 73rd, and the 313th. These are three elements to maintain radio silence, 7 hours, 15 minutes to Tokyo. They have four aircraft assigned as homing aircraft. What is their job, James?
They're basically going to fly a pattern and broadcast a homing beacon that way that, you know, because the pilots are going to be flying at night, they're going to be flying singly, not in formation. And that way it gives them a, for navigational purposes, it helps guide them if needed.
Targeting is critical here. James provides a illustration, a map in his book, so you can see. The targeting is not on the Imperial Palace, yes. It's not on the manufacturing center north of the city. It's on one particular ward, Asakusa. Why, James?
Because it's the densest part of Tokyo. 135,000 people per square mile. LeMay's target area, if you look at it on a map, it looks like a jigsaw puzzle piece, basically. And it encompasses about 12 square miles. And those 12 square miles represent the densest part of Tokyo. Asakusa has the highest level of population density, but throughout that entire target area, the average population density is 103,000 people per square mile, more than five times the average density at that time of like of Washington, D.C., for example. This area is 87% residential. And this is the heart of Tokyo. It's where the workers live. There are a lot of those homes, also small workshops, few employees that manufactured small parts that were then fed into the larger industrial plants. So there is sort of this a industrial component to it, but it's all the home industries that LeMay is going after.
And we now go to a concern that everybody has, which is what this will lead to is what LeMay has in mind of a firestorm. He's practiced this before, and that's the title of your book, Black Snow. What did he learn in his tests of the firebombing?
Yeah, they were really looking to see, you know, once you can start a fire in Japan, can you build an uncontrollable fire? And that's what happened in Dresden. And that's what happened in Hamburg. And what a firestorm essentially is it becomes its own weather system. So as fires grow in size and intensity, all that heat is escaping vertically and it creates a thermal updraft. And of course, at the center of the fire, then there's a vacuum and nature hates that vacuum. And so that vacuum then starts pulling in cold oxygenated air from the perimeter of the fire. And those winds, as they're racing into the center of the fire to feed this, can reach hurricane force speeds, you know, strong enough to literally topple trees, utility poles, to like, you know, pull an infant out of a mother's arms. And so it creates a self-feeding, sustaining fire weather system that then just devours everything.
And he's practiced this. He knows what he wants to achieve. And
that's the goal.
There's a remark at some point. It might be in his autobiography that if we lose the war, we're war criminals. Is that at the time or later?
That's actually Robert McNamara, who worked in LeMay's headquarters, actually with the statistical analysis group, and was there during this time period, recounts LeMay saying that to the men, that, you know, if we lose this war, we'll be tried as war criminals.
The bombers take off, 325, and Tokyo is asleep. It's winter in Tokyo. It's cold when we come back. The book is Black Snow. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.